I hope you're doing well. I'm sure many of you are very, very excited about today. All my kids are up right now, so they got up really early to break fast. And so let's begin. It's going to be a fairly short session this morning. And actually, whoever is doing the music, yeah, please turn off. Thanks. And so I'm just going to do a little primer on the Lord's Supper. It's not going to take long. And then I'm going to pray. And then if you're meant to go off into your house churches and take care of that. Now, if you're not part of a house church for whatever reason and you're homeless, which is not really what we recommend in our community, but for whatever reason you're in this situation now, then just stay online, and I will lead you in a time of the Lord's Supper, okay? All right, so let's turn our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We're going to read from verse 23 down to 30. So this is 1 Corinthians 11, 23 to 30. It says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner should be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks judgment to himself, if he does not judge the body rightly. For this reason, many among you are weak, sick, and a number asleep." Amen. Amen. So the Lord's Supper that's described here, as Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 11, is also called communion. It's also referred to as the Lord's table. This is 1 Corinthians 10:1, refers to it as the table of the Lord. It's also known as the cup of blessing. This is 1 Corinthians 10:16. And in Acts 2:42 is also called the breaking of bread. In the early church, it was also called the Eucharist. And it was derived from the Greek word Eucharistia, which means thanksgiving. So it was a thanksgiving unto the Lord. In the Latin church, they called it Mass. And so you'll find this in Catholic traditions called Mass. And it's derived basically from a formula in Latin of dismission. Ite missa est, which means go, it is discharged. So if you go to Mass, you would receive the elements, and then you would leave. You'd be sent on your way to your work or whatever it may be. The Bible passages where the Lord's Supper is instituted is found in Matthew 26, 26 to 29, Mark 14, 22 to 25, Luke 22, 19 to 20, and obviously what we just read here in 1 Corinthians 11. Now, we as a church, we partake the Lord's Supper the first Sunday of every month to commemorate the death of Christ, because he says, "Do this in remembrance of me." What it does, it helps to signify, to seal, and to apply all the benefits of the new covenant. Partaking, and this is where the idea of communion, the word commune, comes from. Partaking the elements as a body promotes the communion of all believers, and it unifies us. It is a permanent ordinance in the church, and is to be observed until he comes again. We proclaim his death until he comes. And so it's meant to be done until he comes again. Now, it should be noted that in biblical times, the Lord's Supper was not just the wafer and the bread and that we turn into now. It's actually part of a Jewish meal, and it was meant to be eaten together. And if you remember years ago when Matthew Pine led us in the Seder, which is the traditional Passover, that's really more of the setting of the Lord's Supper. But through time, through church history, we basically reduced it to this time in this way that we administer it. It would be great one day that we actually do the whole Seder together. That'd be kind of cool. But okay, let me continue on, as I'm sure you want to break your fast soon. So the purpose of the Lord's Supper is to stimulate our hearts to remember. Remember, do this in remembrance of me. It's for us to remember the work, the person, and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you think about it, and we should understand this because, you know, we've been fasting for ages. And so the physical action of eating and drinking is really designed to remind us of our need for Jesus. Just like eating food and drinking are necessary for our physical existence, so also are the blessings and benefits that come through us through the body and the blood of Christ to our spiritual flourishing. And so there's something about the physical and the spiritual that mix together when we partake of these elements. Now, confession and proclamation, we know, is really a big part of communion. We confess our sins. That's why it says we examine ourselves. And so we confess our sins before the Lord. And when we partake of the elements, what we're doing is, Paul tells us we are proclaiming his death until he comes. And so we are to eat the bread and drink the cup. He says in a worthy manner. He says, don't do it in an unworthy manner. So we're meant to do it in a worthy manner, or else we'll be guilty in the body and the blood of the Lord. So when we come to the table, we don't come complacently. We don't come lightheartedly. Or we don't come with just giving little thought to what the elements signify. We come humbly to the table. Now, it should be said that sometimes there seems to be a misunderstanding about, you know, people coming. It's like, do you have to be perfect to come? No, of course not. But we're seeking forgiveness at the place. Let me quote you this theologian, I.H. Marshall. And this is what he says. He says, in some Christian circles today, the fear of partaking unworthily in the supper leads to believers of otherwise excellent character refraining from coming to the table of the Lord. When this happens, Paul's warning is being misunderstood. The Lord's Supper is the place where the forgiveness of sin is proclaimed and offered to all who would receive it. Paul's warning was not to those who are leading unworthy lives and long for forgiveness, but to those who are making a mockery of that which should have been most sacred and solemn by their behavior at the meal. In other words, what Marshall is saying, and what I'm saying, is that don't misunderstand what Paul is saying. It doesn't mean you have to be perfect. It doesn't mean you have to be sinless, but we come with a humble heart to the table. And we receive it in humility and seeking for forgiveness. In other words, Christ has already paid the price for us. And so we are coming to partake and to receive the forgiveness that he's already paid the price for. And so so you're not disqualified from this, as long as you're coming to that place for forgiveness of sin. Okay, so I mean that's a basic primer. I don't think it's that difficult for us to understand. Now, I should make a note here that the way that Protestants and Catholics view communion is actually very, very different. You may have heard of the term transubstantiation, which means, and this is in Catholic theology, which means that the change in the whole substance of bread into the substance of the body of Christ, and the whole substance of wine into the substance of his blood. In other words, in Catholic theology, you are literally eating the body and the blood of the Lord. Now, this change is brought about in the Eucharistic prayer through the efficacy of the word and the action of the Holy Spirit. And so to give you an idea, this goes all the way back to Aristotle. And Aristotle divided things between what they call the accidents, in other words, the way they appear to us, and their actual essence. So Roman Catholic theology was able to kind of say, you know what, the accidents, the things that appear to our senses, are staying the same. In other words, the bread and the juice or the wine, but the essence before God is changing. So that's kind of the idea. I mean, listen, they're not thinking that this bread all of a sudden turns into his body, but they're saying the essence of that. It may appear to us as bread, but the essence before God is changing. Well, Protestant theology would say, no, it's still wine and it's still bread. It hasn't changed its substance. And so this idea of transubstantiation view of Catholicism is very different than most Protestant views, which simply says the substance is what it is. It hasn't changed. But what I want to share with real briefly is the debate is not really about the substance, but the debate is really what's being accomplished in communion, okay? So Roman Catholic theology would say that the grace of God that is necessary for us to do God's will and therefore justified before God is communicated in these elements. In other words, that there is a grace that is actually being infused into us by the sacrament, which enables me to live right before God, which, you know, is the reason that I can stand before God. Protestants, me and you, what we believe at Solomon's Porch and Christian churches, non-Catholic churches, believe that's is very different, that something else is going on. It's not that grace is being infused to me through these elements, but rather when I'm partaking of the Lord's Supper, I'm recognizing what Christ's death and resurrection has already accomplished for me. That is, I already stand justified before God. And by his Spirit, he allows me to be able to obey him. It's, in other words, it's not my obedience that makes me right before God. It's the grace of God that makes me right before God. And my humility before God and partaking of these elements is to say, Lord, you supply what makes me right before you. My performance is not what makes me right before you, as opposed to, Lord, you supply what I need in order for me to perform what's right for you. You guys understand the difference? And so, obviously we don't believe that the essence, the substance changes in essence. But even more important than that is that we don't believe in this works righteousness. We believe that even communion is by faith. And that would be the major difference. And I'm going to talk more about this tomorrow on Sunday. And so it's just kind of a little sneak peek of things. And so this is what it means. So we come and we remember the work, the person and the work of Christ. But the Lord, the scriptures tell us, but when we come, we examine ourselves. We look to our hearts and we make sure that we enter in a worthy manner, that we don't take this lightheartedly. We take it seriously and in humility and we appreciate what Christ has done for us so that we may be righteous, not because of our works, not because of our behavior, but because of the cross and the resurrection, because of the life that Jesus offered up for us. And so if we can have a song right now and just let the Holy Spirit speak to you, let's come to the table and let's come humbly. We're just going to sing. I'm going to pray. And then we're going to release you. All your house church people are going to release you into your house churches. And others, just stick around and I'll lead you in this time. So let the worship leader come. Let's just examine ourselves right now before the Lord.
forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted. You were condemned. I'm alive and well. Your spirit is within me because you died and rose again. Sing, I'm forgiven. I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted. You were condemned. And I'm alive and well. Your spirit is within me because you died and rose again. Amazing love, how can my King would die for me. Amazing love, I know it's true, and it's my joy to honor you in all I do. I honor. Forgiven because you were forsaken, and I'm accepted. You were condemned, and I'm alive and well. Your spirit is within me because you died and rose. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true, and it's my joy to honor you. Die for me. Amazing love, I know it's true, and it's my joy to honor you in all I do. I honor you. Sing, you are my King. Singing, you are my King. You are my King. Jesus, you are my King. Jesus, you are my King. Jesus, you are my. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true, and it's my joy to honor. King would die for me. Amazing love, I know It's my joy to honor you in all I do. I honor you in all I do. I honor.
Let's pray together. Let's just go before the Lord. In our own words, let's thank him for the sacrifice. Let's remember him. Let's remember who he is, what he said, what he did for us. And let's examine ourselves before him. Well, let's just spend a moment and then I'll just come back and pray. Let's pray together. Lord, we come humbly to your table and we remember. Remember who you are. Remember what you said. We remember how you lived your life and how you graciously, Lord, died for us on the cross. And we are humbled by your sacrifice. But we know that that sacrifice allowed us, Lord, to step into the Holy of Holies. And so we thank you for your love for us. We thank you that we are justified, Lord, by your act, God, not by our own righteousness. And so we examine ourselves this morning, God, before you. God, we thank you. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for watching over us in these last 21 days of our fast. Thank you for being faithful, Lord. We continue to humble ourselves and we continue to seek after you. Thank you for the cross, Lord. We love you so much, God. Be with our community, Lord, today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You are now released to go off into your house churches. Your house church leaders are ready for you, and they've been commissioned and blessed to lead the time of communion for you. For others that you're not part of a house church right now, We ask you to stick around a little bit. If you haven't already, go grab some bread and some juice or some wine, and let's meet back here, and I'll lead you during that time. I do ask that you turn your camera on so that we can all do this together as part of the communion, and so we'll wait for you here, okay?